Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Working While Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I'm your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. And on today's episode, we'll be talking to Becca, who is the owner of Mama Beanstalk, which is a Baltic amber and gemstone jewelry company where she makes her own jewelry. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Becca. I kind of consider myself to be a radical homemaker, homesteading, homeschooling, work from home, mom.
Tell us about your business and what you do.
So I make beaded Baltic amber and gemstone jewelry with the teeny tiny little pearl knots between each bead. And what it really started from was the Baltic amber teething necklaces that really started being popular. The business started almost 7 years ago. And so what I ultimately do is I work with the healing properties of gemstones and combine them to offer support. And the way I like to frame it is to offer support to people throughout all stages of life. Because really, you know, it's about the vibrations and lifting up your energetic vibrations. And so you really can come up with a combination to support anything that someone has going on. Right, like I have this customer base that really keeps it going for me, and so they are Mama Beanstalk as much as I am. So it's a really interesting energy when it really all comes down to it.
Yeah. Well, how did you get into that? Because that is kind of an interesting, unique business.
Yes, it really is. It really is. But I always thought that I would work with healing herbs. I thought that I would be working more with plants. My wife wants those growing things, and I have a cousin who is into medicinal herbs and bedding plants and different herbs. And I really thought that was the way that I was going to go. But this Baltic amber teething necklace thing fell into my life when our daughter, whom we call Bean, which is part of the Mama Beanstalk, that's her nickname. She hit the hard part of teething around 9 months, and I bought a teething necklace from another work-at-home mom, and I got a mama baby set, and I broke my necklace putting Bean on my shoulders one day. Mm-hmm. And in conversation about fixing this necklace, the mom and I, you know, she sent me the stuff to repair it, and we have a conversation, and we ultimately end up not in business together, but partners in creating our businesses, in manifesting our businesses and facilitating our businesses, in ordering supplies together, in problem solving together.
Accountability really, partner practically.
Yeah, and like a creativity partner, you know, the plastic screw class, you know, yeah. Like on those teasing necklaces, you know, we kind of went back and forth about the best way to get them tight next to the knot, and like, I'm doing this, what are you doing? And she was in Florida while I was in Virginia, you know, and all of this was through Facebook. And so, you know, we became really close friends. We've really helped each other. She helped me get my business boosted on Facebook, hooked me up with a couple of different things in addition to what I was doing with my work with the Badass Breastfeeder at that time to promote my business and utilize her reach that she had on Facebook. And so Facebook has played a huge role in building my business and maintaining my customer base. It's been a wild ride and been an interesting thing finding suppliers and maintaining the customers, keeping customers happy, figuring out how to provide adequate customer service. When you have a business that's in your home, that's in your life, that's taking up your life 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, because my business hours aren't 9 to 5. People send me Facebook messages all day long, order from Etsy. So it's not a balance. There is no balance in my life. I cook constantly. I'm cleaning constantly. constantly. I am tending to being. I am answering questions. I am responding to customer needs. I'm trying to knot a necklace. I'm trying to work on this project. I'm tilling the garden.
Yeah, well, I was just about to ask you about scheduling and like how in the world, you know, as interesting as it is, I can see that being a very time intensive business. It's not like you can kind of like set it and forget it kind of thing. So talk to us about a little bit about scheduling. Like, how do you actually kind of fit all of this in together?
I have no idea. My wife for years has, you know, she thrives on structure. I'm like some weird form of organized chaos.
Totally.
Yes. You know, I know where everything is. Everything has its place. It's stored in a picture in my head somewhere. But for me, it's been a hard thing to learn. Bean was about one when the business started. It has been a part of her entire life, really, for what she remembers. Mm-hmm. And so I remember the time crunch back then, and I was staying up until 2, 3, 4 in the morning doing custom orders. But I knew that if I wanted this to be a long-term business, I had to give that in the beginning, and I had to give, so that people, so my name got out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Mama Beanstalk was the necklace, like the healing gemstone necklace to have. It was the thing in a lot of communities, and it was really cool to watch people suggesting my jewelry and suggesting Becca's energy. It's more than just necklace, but it was overwhelming. I took my business full time with a toddler,
right.
With a breastfeeding toddler at that, but with an online business. It doesn't really matter, other than making friends with the post person, and I would answer the door for the mail lady with Eleanor attached at the breast and packages falling out of my hands. Raina was so amazing, and she would come back and she'd be like, "Let me come back at the end of my shift, you know, at the end of my route, and grab everything because I don't have room in my truck right now." And even my guy now, he's incredible. We live on the mountain in southwestern Virginia. My mailbox is down at the bottom of my driveway. They'll come up here and get my packages. Like, they have been such a huge part of my success, and I've done my best to let them know how much I appreciate them. It's been such a crazy ride, and you know, the balance of it all and figuring it out. My wife always wanted to be a farmer. We finally found a place that fit our needs, and we have land, and we have a barn, and we have ducks and chickens, and Bean is about to be 8 now, and she's way more independent. And
tell us a little bit about your homeschooling side of things. Do you
right.
have particular style, or do you use particular curriculum?
So yeah, so that's part of the balance in life. So that since we have this farm and everything, there are quite a bit of responsibilities going on. I realized early on I was exposed to unschooling while I was pregnant. And it was uncomfortable to me. My mom was a special ed teacher. I had done some work in public schools myself. But the idea felt like exciting to me, and because it's so against the rules in a lot of ways. And I am a 6'3" woman who never quite fit into stereotypical gender roles. I played drums in band. I was very sporty. There are just these aspects of like schooling that never really felt uncomfortable to me because of how just tied down they were to me, how just tight and inflexible. As we got closer and closer to schooling ages, I realized how communicating my child and how stubborn she is and how reluctant she is to do things until she's ready. I realized that there was never going to be a point that I was going to be able to sit down with her with a very stringent curriculum and be successful. And so the unschooling, I was really grateful to have been exposed to the unschooling. And so we touch on a lot of things regularly because we have animals, and we have dogs, we have a cat, we have ducks, we have chickens. You know, we process meat, birds. We very openly and actively talk about social issues and political issues, and you know, have discussions about gender and race and socioeconomic status. And it's an interesting thing to sit around and have these conversations and have a seven-year-old who has an opinion and is allowed to have that.
Right, right. Well, what about the dreaded socialization question? Tell us about the dreaded socialization. How do you get off the mountain and meet people?
One of the things that we do is we utilize Blue Mountain School in Floyd, Virginia, and a kind of an alternative school there, and they have four schools. And so Bean has participated in that. But she's made some great friends through that, and we actually have made some friends that we do a regular play date with now. It's kind of like a standing weekly play date. And we also, the library, like our library system here is actually quite incredible. And pretty much each library has a homeschool day and homeschool activities from STEM to art. You know, and ours is actually doing a history program right now. There are so many opportunities. So she goes with us to a lot of things. I actually just recently took her. There's an empowering women's meeting that's once a month here. She went with me to it because we were talking about local food systems. She was sitting right there with me and at the end raised her hand and asked a question right along with everyone else and gave her opinion. You know, my wife works part-time in a warehouse for an online company, you know, and I'm more of the homeschooling engagement. My mom was the teacher. I'm the crafty one. And so a lot of those things fall on my shoulders. I'm not good at finding co-op. I'm not good at, like, maintaining these, like, we're doing these classes. It's hard for me to do these things that every Wednesday you have to come participate in this co-op or you're going to lose your spot or you're not going to be at the same place that everybody is. And that's another reason why the unschooling works for us is because the flexibility.
What does your daughter think of you working and homeschooling this kind of situation? What does she think about that?
Honestly, if she had it her way, no one would work. She doesn't really like the whole like money aspect of life. She definitely doesn't like it when Dottie had to leave the house. You know, she hangs out with me in my office. I have a chaise lounge, and she'll sit back there and play with different things or watch the iPad or, you know, do different workbooks or whatever we're working on that day while I sit at my desk and work. And it's a frustrating thing for her because she thrives on attention and one-on-one and being engaged and wants it bad. And so it's hard for her to let go of my engagement enough for me to work. But she also knows that I'm the one, you know, I'm the main breadwinner for the family. And so she also has the importance of what I do. And she also sees the beauty in what I do because I create this art. It's, you know, the jewelry that I create, a lot of it is this artwork. And she oohs and ahs over it and tells me how pretty it is and how beautiful and how good this mix feels. And, you know, has tried to learn some of the gemstones and sits and makes her own jewelry with me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch her perspective of what working is because my father was a minister. My mother was a special ed teacher. But, you know, my mind and my idea of what jobs were as a kid was much more 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I knew that wasn't
when we were kids. Right. It wasn't like, you know, working from home was like, frankly, almost impossible if you ask me, unless like totally. Your office was in your house.
Right. Or, you know, yeah, your business is like, you're the plumber. And so, but right. You're still leaving your house.
Right. Right. That is the great thing about this as a professional woman. I mean, I grew up, my sister's a teacher. And so, but her boys were in daycare. And I just remember, you know, telling my now husband on a very early date, probably second or third date, that my kids would be in daycare. And he was horrified because he came from a very traditional family where the mom pretty much stayed at home. He's like, why would you do that to your kids? I'm like, well, because I want my kids being able to see that a woman can have a job and a woman can have a career. And he was like, okay, well, I get your reason. Like, you could see like the dichotomy. It's like, yeah, I agree with you, but like, for him, it's just, he's like, what? Okay, whatever. You know what? He's so laid back. He's just like, you know, whatever. I'm chill. But, you know, for a second there, you could just see his brain was kind of slightly frying out his ears.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had my first daughter, I honestly was like, I can't imagine leaving her. And I was like, and then all of a sudden I was having this existential crisis of, but I was going to be this professional woman. And now I'm like, I can't imagine walking out the door now. And I just remember it just being like this existential, like, how can you make this work? And now I'm like, I almost like that I work from home because they can quote see, they can let you quote see you having it all. Just maybe not all at once. But
in that having it all thing, I must say that there are people who do believe, I mean, like, say this in jest, because I am 6'3", I'm 250 pounds, I'm bigger than life, I wear tie dye, right. I am loud, I have a mohawk. You know, I just, like, I have tattoos. Like, it's who I am. It's just, it's an interesting thing because people are like, you have it all. I will be the first, second, and third to tell you that my kitchen is a wreck. You know, I mean, like, the laundry is not completely piled up, but it is. The kids' room, we're not even going to talk, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I did get some canning done this season. And, you know, there are days that I don't have it together and days that I do. And I'm incredibly, incredibly flattered by the feedback that I get from people who think that I have it all together, but I'm also so blessed by the people that humanize me and are like, dude, it take your time finishing my custom order. I know, like, you've never failed me. You always get it done. It's all good. You taking care of you and taking care of your family is priority. And it's amazing to see these people who see you and love you and support you genuinely, but they also are like, how do you do it all? And I'm like, I don't every day.
Oh, yeah. I've had people ask me that in regards to homeschooling because they were about to start homeschooling. I was like, I subscribe to the I'm a hot mess homeschooler. It gets done, but I'm a hot mess getting it done. I'm not Pinterest pretty when I do it. I do it, I get it all done, but it's ugly. It's hot mess.
It's so true. I mean, when we in Virginia, you know, end of year testing, there's a couple of ways to do it. But when we sat down to really do it, and we did it online, and I'm like, oh, wait, oh, you've never taken a test before.
Yeah.
I'm like, we've prepared with all of, you know, I touched on the majority of the subjects and went over some things, and I had a practice test, so I talked to her about the thing, and, you know, we discussed capitalization and some of the things that we had never, ever talked about. But then when it actually came down to the moment, I was like, oh, wait, here's this whole big piece of this. I forgot to even discuss with you. Here's this thing called a test, and you have to press this button.
Yeah, I had to do the same with my girls, and we don't even unschool. I'm just, my kids have a lot of anxiety, so I never, quote unquote, tested them. I never used the word test. And then all of a sudden, you know, when I lived in Virginia, all of a sudden we have to do this standardized, quote unquote, testing. They're like, Mom, what is this? I was like, look, this has nothing to do with you. They're actually grading me. It's all about me.
It's a great way to frame it.
And if they're basically, they're trying to see if I'm good enough to homeschool you. So they're evaluating how you're doing to see how I did in my teaching job. And they're like, oh, okay, then that's fine. It was okay for me to be graded, but not for them, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I used that in, you know, for several years, honestly.
I love that. I was blown away by how well my daughter did.
Yeah.
You know, and it was such a reinforcing moment for me when we got the final grades back. And I saw how well she had done. And, you know, because you have your doubts. Whatever method of schooling, I mean, public school, homeschool, unschool, anything, private school, you have your moments of doubt. Or, like, am I doing the right thing for my kid? Are they learning? Are they progressing? And, like, you know, and that validation was awesome because I know that she's progressing, and I know that she's progressing in the ways that I want her to progress. Oh, and I can prove to you guys that she's also progressing in the ways that you want to see that she's progressing. So,
right.
We got this.
Exactly. And just one quick side bit for anybody who's listening. My oldest is hyper literal. So she doesn't do the standardized testing very well because she takes the questions too literally.
Oh, yeah.
And so basically I told her, it's like, every time you look at these testing, it's like, they're always trying to trick you. So don't let them.
Yeah.
And so when she starts looking for the trick, it's a totally different thing. It's really how we were taught to look at those testing back in the 80s. It's like, okay, what are they trying to do? It's like, look, they're trying to trick you. Don't you dare let them. And then it became a game. So she would always, I that's like, that's the same thing. It's like, where's the trick in this question? Because you know they're trying to trick you. And she's like, oh, I totally get it. And she's 13 now, and we still kind of use that.
It's that figuring out the engagement and the, you know, the game aspect of, like, what matters and how to get it done. And just,
right.
I don't know.
How much class time did they spend when we were in school trying to teach us how to do the test? Like, how to test well?
Right.
I remember all of us kind of sitting there looking at each other going, this is the stupidest waste of our time. But they knew, even back in the 80s, look, this is just about how to take the test. So this is how you test.
Yeah.
This is how you kind of game the system.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you
absolutely.
Totally.
It's learning the game, learning the system, figuring out. And that, you know, and that was one of the things why, like, people sometimes are like, oh, you're so smart. And I'm like, eh, I'm smart enough to figure out, like, I'm my main thing I always said is, like, I'm smart enough to figure out the rules so that I know them well enough, so that I know the places that I can slide around and slide through them.
Right.
And it's all just figuring out, you know, there's this big game of life.
Right.
And, you know, there's some rules that are definitely unbreakable. There's some that are flexible. You have to figure out what's going to fill your cup up, what's going to make your mental, like, what at the end of the day is going to leave you with some shred of mental health left, your child's mental health, what's going to be best for your child's mental health at the end of the day. In learning and growing together, because that's one of the jokes here that I'm like, if we don't know it, we're going to learn it because we're an unschooling family.
Right. Woo-hoo. Exactly. Exactly. So as we're wrapping up today, do you have kind of any words of advice or encouragement for any homeschool parents that might be out there listening right now?
There's no one way to do it. You know, everybody does it different. It's always good to ask questions and get input and have opinions of, you know, is this curriculum good? Is this game good? But there's not a right or wrong way to homeschool, to educate, to bring knowledge into your life. Everything is a learning opportunity. You know, if you look at life like that and you can kind of step back and see that perspective, I feel like it can take a little bit of pressure and judgment off your shoulders of whether you are good enough to be an educator in your child's life.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate this opportunity so, so much. Thank you for letting me share some of my life and my story and my family.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for links to my site, workingmomhomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways you can connect with us online. We do appreciate our listener supporters, so if you enjoyed today's podcast, you too can support us with a small monthly donation that helps us continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out our show notes for the link. I also would appreciate your online reviews. All of you that have been subscribing to our podcast, thank you to all of you who have been sharing this with your homeschooling friends. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest on our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Becca for being our guest. And please make sure you join us in our Facebook group for a continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.